Hello everybody and welcome to Voxel Viewpoints. First up, we have Derek and Lee, who've been playing Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice. They're here to report on From Software's latest adventure. Later on, we talk about Google Stadia and whether or not it's going to be the future of gaming. It's March 26, 2019. I'm Ryan Shepherd, and let's get this show on the road. Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice came out. This is the new From Software game. And Lee and Derek, you've been exploring the dark depths of Japan, I guess? So why don't you, Derek, why don't you tell me how far are you into this game and what's going on with it? What can people expect if they're into From Software games, and does it live up to the hype?
Well, off the bat, you can, the difficulty's there. Like, that difficulty you know and love from software games is there. I would say probably even harder than your Souls and Bloodborne series.
Okay.
Just due to, the different style of gameplay. So you're kind of, you're jumping from up on top of buildings. You're trying to, sneak up. So it's kind of a different approach to their combat mechanics.
Right, so stealth is a big thing, right?
Yeah, and you kind of got to try to, break yourself away from it, which is kind of hard. So as far as how far I've made it so far, not that far.
Okay. Why don't you set us up with the story? Like, what is the setting? What's the deal? Why are you Sekiro-ing or whatever you're doing in it?
That's the name of your guy, is Sekiro.
Okay, so it's the character name.
Yeah, he's known as the Wolf, though, more widely throughout the story.
Okay, so that's a big difference right off the bat, is you're actually a character. You're not you're not some undead random person.
Right, and I think it's mainly due to is there's no multiplayer aspect, so it's more of telling a story versus just here's this big open world with huge ass bosses for you to kill.
Okay. Yeah. Is it more linear than like a Dark Souls or a Bloodborne? Not that those were really big open games or anything like that, but there were multiple paths you could wander off and find like a side boss or something like that that wasn't part of the main quest, so to speak.
This one you can wander around quite a bit, but once you get to a certain point, it'll kind of ghost out where you can go through because it really wants you to beat one of these mini bosses to proceed. It's kind of a very loose quest system that it has.
Okay.
Mm. It kind of funnels you through because you unlike Dark Souls, where you're just picking up weapons upon weapons upon weapons, you have one weapon, you have a katana. But what it does, it fills you through because you lose your arm a little way into, at the beginning of the game, and you have a prosthetic arm that you can swap in and swap out. And those arms are normally centered around bosses. Those extra arms that you take back and then you forge to build a new arm to swap out to put on. So it kind of does field you into kind of those boss battles. So it is wide open for an extent, and then it wants to hone you in because you should, around the area somewhere, pick up that thing that's going to help you advance the game.
Okay, so you pick up the arm before the boss or after the boss?
After the boss, around about the boss, yeah.
It's not like a reward for killing the boss. It's like it's something you need for the boss.
Yeah. Because there was a couple that were hidden. Like, you go back and do a memory, and you actually get two of them from there, and then off the bat, just in, the normal areas, you find the shurikens. And then in the memory, you get the fire and the axe.
The fireball-type effort. It's a fire-shooting shuriken shoots at kind of... It's like a shuriken launcher-type prosthetic arm-type thing, when you get things like that. Also, a couple of think the way you have a grapple with your other arm as well.
Right,
the grapple opens up a lot more differently as well, I feel.
Okay. How does the grapple's kind of a big deal with the stealth, right? Because you can get up high above the enemy, and then I've seen gameplay where you can take out, like, stealth kill enemies from above and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing with the game. It's kind of, yes, it is from the Dark Souls people, and it does have that Dark Souls lineage and that style of the breaks and the bars and the whittling the bars, the health bars down and stuff like that. But From Software also known for making Tenchu games.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to play it like a Souls game, it's kind of a fool's errand. You're going to get screwed over very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If you play it more as a kind of a stealth type game and then encounter stuff when you have to, when it's right in front of you, you're probably going to get a lot further. It's got a lot more in common with something like a Tenchu. So it is kind of, there's a move that it don't necessarily tell you how to do until you do it, like a stealth from above. So you can kind of skip to a rooftop, which you could do in the old Tenchu games.
Mm-hmm.
Do a launch off, stab in, and then kind of yeet out with your, or go dip into a bush, or go out with your grapple again and never be seen. It's not one of those things where you have to take that confrontation. There's a lot of verticality going on with this that you don't get in the Souls at all. Head on will normally get you into a lot of trouble.
For a modern reference, like an Assassin's Creed, where you would
there's a lot of Assassin's Creed to it.
Yeah, you wanna get to the rooftops, survey the area, and then take out as many targets as you can without being seen, and then eventually you're gonna get to the point where you expose yourself, and then a different kind of combat happens. That combat is different than what we're used to in the Souls games as well. It's not quite as, I guess, like stamina based. And stuff like that. You're doing a lot of parrying and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. What they have now is a posture system,
mm-hmm.
due to like the katana combat. So you can hold and block, and then if you can time the strikes right, which is part of like the learning curve of the combat for this, you can actually parry their attack back, and it'll open up what's called a death blow.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing too, is you can't just, every enemy, you just can't like whittle away, like hop away, come back, strike a couple times. You're trying to break their posture to trigger a death blow so that you can insta kill them. But now your mini bosses and bosses aren't just giant health bars. They'll have a little red icon above their health bar, and it's how many death strikes it takes to actually kill them.
Okay. How does that feel? Does it feel good? Is it satisfying to do that? Do you prefer the old Dark Souls Bloodborne fashion? How do you feel about it?
It's very satisfying, and it's a lot faster as well. So the parry, when you get the parry, it's actually kind of more forgiving than you think it is. It's still quite tight because it needs that difficulty, but kind of you never feel cheated out of missing one of your parry to death blow things. You don't feel cheated out of them. It's like, well, I've missed that one. And that thing, and it's a quite quick, fluid animation. You know, parry, stab, dead, and it feels a lot slicker. Souls can feel quite heavy sometimes—a heavy roll, a heavy kind of dodge. Yeah, but this is very nippy. You can kind of scoot around because they've got a lock-on system. Obviously, with the you click your R in, and you can kind of loop around people and stuff like that. It's quite good.
Okay, so the lock-on system is still similar to the previous games.
Yeah, but it helps you dip around a lot quicker.
Okay.
A hell of a lot quicker.
Yeah, because I'm playing the Souls games, I kind of go back and forth with the lock-on, whether or not I feel like it's
helpful or not.
Yeah, whether or not it's the way to go. And I think a lot of it comes down to each individual fight. But you're saying that in this case, it's more useful than it is not. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it helps with the stealth kind of. You need to get in and get out. You can't be risking just hoping for the best. And stuff like I said, like the aerial off a roof to take somebody out quickly doesn't work if you don't have the lock on, because it will bring up this thing where it will tell you you have a dot, which is kind of a white dot, which is a lock on, and then the red, it will turn red when you can do a death blow.
Okay.
You won't be able to Deathblow if it's not, if you're not locked in. It won't, okay. It won't signify to it. So those moves don't work. So you do have to use it a lot more.
How do the boss battles work? Are they similar? Are you doing the stealth thing? Or are they more head-on encounters?
For the one that I'm trying to do right now, it's a mini boss. You can stealth in, and if you're lucky enough, you can get a death blow on the first strike. But then after that, you're going to be working your ass off to try to break the posture and get the next one.
Okay.
As far as like the main big bosses, I have not got far enough to encounter one yet, just due to having that bigger learning curve and wanting to mastering that parrying system before I take on something like that. Because another thing to bring up is they have this dragon rot system in the game, right, to where instead of penalizing you as the player, stat-wise, the NPCs around you, when you die now, the NPCs around you and the world gets this dragon rot. And what it does is if you die too many times, it's slowly going to kill off the NPCs or to make where they can't talk to you. And then you can't progress any of the quests you're doing. Okay. And it's also been said that resources to fix this are limited. So it's not like in Dark Souls where you could go grind out 20, 30 human effigies be good. You know, you could fail and it's not going to mean anything. In this game, to fail and to repeatedly fail, it's going to mean something, because at some point down the line, you're not going to be able to fix this problem and then you're going to be stuck. So wanting to learn the parrying system to master these systems, a lot bigger part of the game than it would be in like a Dark Souls game.
Now there's like a some sort of resurrection thing too, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird how it works, because sometimes you can resurrect just once, and then every now and then a second bar will fill up as well and show up, and I've gotten two resurrections in a row.
Okay. Now, does resurrection penalize you?
No. It's just once you have that death.
So after you've used your resurrections, then that's when you actually die, and then that's when you get the dragon rot thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The penalty is used in the resurrection, where you literally spawn straight back into the battle where you are.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and that is the thing that gives you the punishment. And
is there any resource loss on death?
Yeah.
No, you don't have to go. Do you?
Yeah, you lose a good bit amount of the money and a little bit of the basically the XP that you gain.
Okay. And that's on death or resurrection as well.
It's just on death.
Just on death, okay.
Yeah, I noticed I had like 1,000 of the coins that we get, and I died and lost like 400 of them.
Okay. Can you go and pick up what you've lost, or is it gone forever? Like in Dark Souls?
It's gone forever.
Okay.
Because like I said, you don't really lose any of the items you had, because you can get like little things to like boost your stats or boost attack power slightly. You don't lose any of that, but like it takes away like a little bit of your XP. I haven't really noticed like a substantial amount of XP lost, like maybe like 30-40, but it like took a big chunk out of the money I earned.
Okay, so in Dark Souls, really the only in Bloodborne, the main currency was your souls or your blood echoes, and you use that to upgrade things and also upgrade your character and also buy things. But in here, there's two different currencies. There's money and XP. Does the XP work like souls, or is it different?
No, XP in this one, it's straight up XP. You have to gain a certain amount to get to the. The thing is, you don't level up. What you do is you gain skill points. Once you fill up your bar and gain so much experience, it'll give you a number, and like you can keep farming that out to raise the number. And then once you go to this the skill tree, which is new to From Software game, and you put it in for like I got this move called Whirlwind. It cost me 1 point to get that, and then a point to do the upgrade. So that was two of the skill points I've earned right there. And then there's a couple different ones you can get. There's not like hundreds and hundreds of skills. There's like I got this whirlwind attack, then you can upgrade it a couple times, and each time it's going to cost you more skill points. Like, the first one was one, the next thing's one, but then it branches off, so those two cost two skill points to get.
Okay. So, but it's not like a huge, giant skill tree. It's kind of limited.
Nah,
but
it's maybe got
each branch branches off a little bit. Okay. And now, you say you get these upgrade numbers. Can you lose those, too?
Yeah, because if you don't go spend it and then you lose part of it and it drops below whatever that number was that increased it, you're going to lose that point then.
Okay. And then, so what's the money for?
Right now the only thing I can buy is, I forget what they are called, but it's the resource you use to use your prosthetic arm.
Okay. Okay, so there's like... Let's like, you have to buy, let's say, like magic to use your arm or something like that.
Yeah, it looks like a little like cross type thing, like a talisman type deal.
Okay.
From the start, right now, you can hold 15 of them on you.
Okay.
I think
so. It's not a meter. It's like an actual.
Yeah. It's like the when you use the axe and the shurikens, it's one charge per time, and I think the fire's two maybe.
Okay. And this is just as to use your arm as the weapon. You don't expend those to use it as like the grappling hook.
No, the grappling hook's like free use. You can use that as much as you want. And there's actually a skill you can get to where you can like grapple onto the enemies. I haven't got it yet because I was trying to get this like little whirlwind attack that kind of helps staggers the enemies a little bit.
Okay.
Probably your most essential item is your grapple, more so than your sword.
Yeah.
Okay. How is So we touched upon like the basic story elements. How is it beyond that? Is it interesting story? Because I know the Souls games can have kind of a obtuse story, not exactly delivered in a traditional format. But this seems kinda to be a little bit more traditional in its delivery. Is it interesting? Is it
Yeah, you still like in this one, you kind of know what the story is. It's just unraveling it because you know you're trying to go save your the child, which is like your master or your emperor.
Child prince.
I think it's child prince. You're trying to go save him, and it's kind of like you jump into this memory, which actually puts you 3 years in the past. But I'm not really sure how far that goes in, because that's kind of like where I'm stuck right now, is trying to figure out this one mini boss to proceed further in this memory.
Okay.
But then I can come back to like the future, and then I can go off to the separate path and start working that way. But then it just seems like things are 10 times as harder as they should be without going to this other area.
All right. So overall, we satisfied with it? Does it live up to the legacy of the studio, or is it, what's the consensus?
Yeah, it's their most polished, I think, of all of their things.
Oh, right. Let's talk about performance. Like, how's it look? How's it play on what you're playing on? Because that's been an issue with these games as well.
No, it's played very nicely. Like, I'm playing on the PS4 Pro, and it's been real nice. I haven't really noticed any like frame rate issues, especially when like dodging around and then like trying to like swing away up into a tree branch or hop on top of a building. The responsiveness has been pretty well.
Yeah, because you definitely want that. You want it to be snappy, so you don't want to fight really hard enemies and also fight the controls and lagginess and stuff like that.
Yeah, which is something I'll be testing out, since we kind of mentioned like the controls, is apparently I was reading that my controller has a latency issue, and I think that might be part of my problems with trying to parry as well as I think I should be. So it's something I'll be testing out.
Are you using controller? Just a regular PS4 controller?
No, I have a wired Razer Raiju. Somebody has put out a video on it, and with certain games and certain actions, sometimes there just happens to be this weird latency that happens. I'm not sure really what's causing it. So
that's interesting. Instead of hearing it's wired.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd think the wired would be better.
A lot more responsive, so.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to test out that new Astro you got. Wait for street date.
Yeah, so Wednesday when I can go pick that up, we'll be testing on the Astro C40, and then I'm going to borrow my brother's regular PlayStation controller and sync that up and test it on there, too.
Okay. Lee, what about you? You're playing on Xbox, right?
Yeah. It's got a little chug. It does have a little chug, kind of. It's unlocked at 30, so it's kind of variable. It doesn't dip below very much, but it's kind of that all over the place type thing.
Yeah. That could be a bummer, I've got the S.
I don't find it's that much, because they've never had really great performance, have they? They've always had issues getting their things running quite right, like with stuff like
on console specifically.
Frame pacing and stuff like that. I understand there's all problems with that sort of thing, which is a big thing for theirs, and I don't think much has changed.
Yeah.
But it runs relatively smoothly on the S.
Mm-hmm.
X is supposed to be a lot better, but still those issues you kind of now sort of expect from Sospek.
Yeah, I looked. Yeah. I watched some of the Digital Foundry coverage, and it looks like they all have frame pacing issues. But I guess there was something about the Xbox One X that you can turn on like 120 hertz mode. I don't know if that's in the game or on the Xbox itself. I wasn't 100% sure because I looked on mine and I didn't see that setting. And even if it doesn't actually support 120 frame rates, obviously it's like it's stuck between. Well, on the base consoles, it's around 30, and then on the higher consoles, it is floating between like around like 40 and 50 for frame rate.
Mm. Well, I watched that Digital Foundry thing. I'm not very tech head, so I don't know if it's set to your TV. If your TV is compatible with your 120 hertz.
I think the reason why the
S also does it. The S also has the 120 mode if you need to use it.
Both the Xboxes have the 120 hertz if you want to turn it on, but I think your TV has to support it, even though it won't technically use it. And the reason why that works is because when you're floating around in the they call it the no man's land with frame rate, which is between like 40s and the 50s. You start to run into issues where your frame rate and your refresh rate don't match up ever. Like you start cutting frames in half on refreshes and stuff like that. But by increasing the refresh rate of the console, in this case to 120 hertz, you also increase the likeliness that your frames are going to refresh at the when the screen is refreshing, so you have a better chance to not miss skipped frames and stuff like that. I wish games would choose like a frame rate, like a set number. That would be especially games like this that you're kind of care about how smooth the game plays and how responsive everything is, to choose 30 frames per second and just make it a really nice smooth constant 30 frames per second, because games do that, you know. Like there are plenty of games out there that, you know, they lock their thing at 30 and it just plays really well. It feels real super smooth, but when it fluctuates all the time, that's where you start to run into issues and start noticing it.
Another thing is I watched the Digital Foundry thing, and apparently the tests that they played before they got their copies were running at 60. So that was a fairly solid 60. So I don't know what changed between the demos they played wherever they're playing it and between the copies they got.
Which
was strange.
Yeah, I don't know.
Something changed between then and now.
It's hard to tell. like along the like what you're actually playing, you know, whether or not like you're hoping that you're playing whatever they're saying you're playing, but a lot of times you'll find that you're actually playing the PC version. So consensus is you guys are like it, and you're gonna keep playing at it, even though it's definitely testing your mettle, so to speak.
Very much so. Yeah, go on, Derek.
I was gonna say I'll definitely keep playing it, and I might treat it kind of like I did Bloodborne. I played it a bit, and then I had stopped for a while. Came back to it and enjoyed it like so much more that I actually like went through, finished everything. It just seemed a lot refreshing, like checking out, seeing what it is right off the bat, kind of putting it on the shelf for a while, revisiting it, and then just having a way better experience than I was having before. So I'm kind of get the feeling that that's what happens with this game.
Yeah, I get that a lot with these types of games too, where especially if you're getting frustrated with a particular situation, taking a step back and playing something else and then coming back to it with a fresher mindset helps out. I find that with puzzle games as well, helps out a lot. I'm interested in it. I was not able to pick it up when it first dropped, but I'm gonna keep an eye out for a good deal on it and pick it up when I have a little bit more time to sink into some games, because I guess it's a pretty big game.
It's really great. Yeah, I think they reckon it talks about 40 hours or so.
Yeah, that's what I heard, and that's if you just kind of mainline it, which is
really great.
What you expect from these kinds of games. They're the FromSoft games are, if you put enough into it, you can get a ton of time out of it, like up to 60, 70 hours on some of the Dark Souls games and stuff like that.
Yeah, cause it seems like there's a lot of different ways to go and explore. But like I said, eventually it'll kind of like block you off, but the replayability is there as well.
Mm. And again, it does funny you in because it wants to tell you that story. It wants to tell you the story that you don't get from maybe another Souls game.
Right, yeah. There's story there, but you have to go online and look it up.
there's more set pieces, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, that was Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. Last week, Google had their little press event at GDC, and they announced Google Stadia, which is a video game streaming service of some sort. Last year, around when Assassin's Creed Odyssey came out, they did a little test beta thing with a couple of with some I'm not really sure how you got into it, but there were a group of people that got to test this out and see how it worked and everything like that. And the idea is you basically can play any game you want within your Chrome browser. That was what was going on during the beta test, and that was basically what they announced on stage. But, you know, it's going to expand a little bit more than that. Like, you'll be able to play it on if you have, like, a Google Chromecast, or if your TV has a baked-in Google, like, Chromecast app on it, you'll be able to play right on your smart TV. And you'll also be able to play right on your phone or your tablet, basically allowing you to, as long as you have a good enough internet connection, to play, you know, AAA style games on almost any device that can connect to the internet. Not a whole lot was announced on like how you're going to buy the games, if it's going to be a subscription service or if it's going to be like buying it per game or renting or anything like that. I guess you're going to talk about a little bit more about that later on, but we just wanted to talk about it and see how we all feel about a service like this, because they're not the only ones that are kind of going down this road. Xbox has an app, has a system that they're working on, and PlayStation Now is kind of similar to this, so it's not the first time we've heard this. I'm just wondering what you guys think about this potentially being a future for gaming.
It has a possibility, obviously, but as you were talking, that PlayStation Now is kind of similar. And Xbox has that stuff that they're working on as well. I rarely see people talk about PlayStation Now. It could be something amazing, or it could just flop.
But yeah, I don't really hear people talking about PlayStation Now either. Does anybody use it?
Exactly. I've never used it.
No.
Never saw a purpose in doing it. I think it's possibly overpriced at the time. Just was easier to play your games.
Yeah, I think the price on PlayStation Now was a big factor in why people didn't really jump on it. It was kind of all over the place as far as I remember. Like, they kept changing it and kept announcing different things, and the library was never quite where at least I wanted it to be when I was like, oh man, I wish I could play, you know, this game, look it up. Oh, it's not on there, or something like that.
It is now, you know, no pun intended, bit more extensive. However, again, it comes down to Sony has a big problem with overpricing things, and it causes, I guess, the users to not want to use it. PlayStation Plus used to be cheaper than Xbox Live, and then, well, we're going to up that too. Then they got rid of all the extra stuff that you get from PlayStation Plus with that as well. So it's diminishing, and this is an opportunity for Google to jump into the game, so to speak, with this. The problem that they're going to run into is, as you said, if you don't have a stable internet connection, that could really kill it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, literally, yeah. It would literally kill it.
Now, the thing to think about, if you could play it anywhere with any device that has this Google thing, does that mean that we'll be able to play it off of our phones, not using Wi-Fi, but actually using our data? And right. If you can get away with doing that, so you're sitting there waiting for, I don't know, some appointment or whatever it might be, doctor's office or something, and you can play the game as long as you use your data.
Yeah.
Is that possible, or will it consume all your data real quick?
Right.
So,
yeah, so like, question, there's two questions there, whether or not the current, you know, cell phone data infrastructure could even support the speeds needed, and whether or not you have data caps and how fast you're going to hit it with when you're doing this. So what they said was, I believe 1080p 60 frames per second is going to need about 25 megabits per second connection. Or megabytes. I always get confused between those two. I think it's megabytes per second. And so, you know, how quickly is that going to eat up your? No. It has to be megabits. 25 megabytes per second is insane.
I was gonna say.
Anyway, how fast is that going to eat up your data cap? Do you have unlimited data? That's great. Yeah, like in like hell, AT&T isn't going to throttle that when you start playing something for like you're playing it for an hour and they're like, "What the fuck is this guy doing, eating up all this data?"
Yeah. Now, do you guys remember how when that football app came out for I think it was Verizon or AT&T, and they're like, "You're not going to be using your data as long as you're streaming through our stuff."
I don't remember that, no.
I don't remember exactly the football one, but there's been times to where, like, if you had a certain service and were using Netflix, you would get...
where they don't pull from the actual data.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, the question is Google ever going to come up with something like that? Now, if they come up with something like that to tie in with this, oh, yeah, you could kill the industry, literally. So, I mean...
Yeah, I guess so. And they've been on and off with their... actually installing their own internet lines throughout the country. Like, trying to... But I think they stopped doing that because, surprise, it costs a lot of money to run wires all over a gigantic country. Yeah.
I do it for a living.
So, like, I mean, if they had that infrastructure there, and it's like, hey, if you're on Google Fiber or whatever, then, you know, it's all included or whatever, then that would be great. But that's not the case right now. So you're going to be dealing with your ISPs. You're going to be dealing with Comcast, Verizon, you're going to Spectrum and yep. stuff like that.
So you're going to have to set up a lot more data centers to even be able to process this too.
Yeah, I guess they seem to be indicating that they have the data centers in place. They have the local, the enough data centers around the country to handle their end of it anyway, whether or not the internet's going to, the ISPs are going to be able to handle it, who knows. But so I guess that's not that big of a deal, unless it obviously becomes massively popular and they can't keep up with it. But because, you know, they've been doing things like this, kind of like, I mean, they're YouTube, right? So they've been pushing digital video across the internet for like over a decade now. So they have they have an idea of what it takes to do that. But obviously, you know, storing an MP4 on a hard drive is different than running Assassin's Creed Odyssey off that same hard drive.
Well, you're just tying in the fact that you're playing a game that doesn't require somebody else's connection as well. Once you include multiplayer into that, you have far more.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if they really talked about multiplayer games very much. It was mostly, I know they talked to somebody like id came out and said Doom Eternal, were going to be able to run at 4K 60 over this.
Yeah, that was something that I had heard about too, was that's going to be the next game they're going to like test on it.
And from what I understand, Assassin's Creed Odyssey was okay, but hands-on, people have been saying that Doom might not be okay because it requires a much lower latency, much more precision with aiming and stuff like that, because it's a first-person shooter. That it wasn't quite holding up, because let's pretend like the internet is there, they got the data centers, it's all working, the price is right, people are playing it. There's a latency issue here, because this isn't just watching a movie on Netflix where there's no interaction. You're actually got to send button presses and see a response on your screen. So if there's any sort of latency there, like we were talking about previously, Derek, you were experiencing some of that with your wired controller in Sekiro, then, you know, that could be a big issue too. What was that?
I was going to say, while we were talking about that too, I had tested GeForce Now, which was... Mm-hmm. kind of in principle the same thing that's going to be going on, because this is going to be running off some other computer or device somewhere else that you're connecting to access this game.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it worked good, sometimes it didn't. There's so many factors that tie into this. It's going to really be hard to be like, yeah, this is going to take off and it's going to be awesome.
I had tested GeForce Now too a little bit. I played like some PUBG. And I think I played some Fortnite too. And when it worked, it was great. When it didn't, it was awful. Because it
did not work at all.
The latency was miserable. When it did work, it was I felt just as good as if I was playing it on the local computer. They didn't announce a console, an actual physical box, because the idea is you're supposed to be playing it on something else you already have, whether it be your computer in a browser window, your phone, your TV, Chromecast, whatever it is. But they did announce a controller, which is interesting because this controller connects to your Wi-Fi independently from whatever you're playing the game on. So... Oh. The idea is that this controller has a direct connection to Google, to wherever the data center is, independent from whatever's displaying the audio and video. So This is supposed to also cut down on latency because it has a dedicated connection. It's not waiting for your computer to then receive the input, then send it off to Google. This is sending it directly to them. So I guess it'll be, we'll see if that has a big factor in controller latency, because I have a Steam Link that I've, when they were selling them for like $6, I grabbed one of the several times that they were selling them, and I've tried it in my own network, just local, and there is latency. Like, you can't play Twitch first person shooters on this thing because there isn't so much input latency, but it's actually display latency, and you can bring up like a whole grid of like all this information on it. It's actually pretty useful to figure out to get the best results, and you can see right there that there's like a almost 40 millisecond display latency on my local network. Like, this is all wired, this isn't even wireless, so even on my local network I wasn't able to get something that was anything what I would consider like playable for games like first person shooters, like think fast games. Like, if I was playing something slow, if I was playing like an adventure game, like a Telltale game or something like that, it'd be perfectly fine. But if I was going to play, you know, what I was testing with was actually Anthem, and that it was okay, but it had its problems. It definitely did not work very well. And I don't know if this is going to be any better than that. It's hard to tell right now, because that's really all I have to experience to call upon. I mean, I guess I could try PlayStation Now and see how that works, if I notice any latency with a fast game on that, to get a kind of idea of a service that's actually in operation right now. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I would even pay for that, because I'd have to look it up and see how much it costs.
I think it's like $9 a month.
$9? That's not too bad. And that's the other thing. They haven't really announced any definite pricing on this yet. So if it's like a subscription service for $9 a month, it might be certainly worth trying out. But
I'm sorry, it's $20 a month.
Okay. Yeah, that's... To me, that's too much.
The new subscriber, but the new subscribers can get their first month for $9.99.
Oh, I would. Yeah, I think I would be a new subscriber.
Yes, you would.
All right.
So,
I can test it out. Yeah. What do you guys feel about it? Is this something that you think you're going to be trying out, or is it?
It's something you brought up the whole thing about latency, and I'm skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can stream a game. I can literally try and stream to a computer that's sitting right next to my monitor and still get latency on my own network internally.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me very skeptical of it. If this controller is going directly to Google, that you're going to be able to play games, like you said, first-person shooters and not have any problems.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to try and do it competitively.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this wouldn't be... I can't imagine that if you're taking competitive gaming seriously, this is going to be something you're going to be really investing in. It would have to be like a... Like you said, like you want to hop on and play your game for 20 minutes while you're waiting for the doctor or something like that.
Yeah. And that it could be good for that, but I'd still see latency issues with anything. And it really depends on whether or not you're going to notice that. If it's noticeable, it'd definitely be an issue.
Yeah. So the other element of this is like, there are other companies that are, you know, working on this. You already have PlayStation Now, which is people are kind of lukewarm on. But you have Xbox coming out with their thing, and I guess they're going to be testing that out later this year, actual trials and stuff like that. Now, for me, that's potentially a little bit more interesting for me, because from what they've said so far is you can probably play the games you already own through this service, so you won't be rebuying the games. So, like, let's say Google comes out and it's not a subscription service, you actually have to buy the games through their store. And that is that the only way you can play those games? Like, is through Google Stadia? Or,
yeah.
But with, say, like, Xbox, if you buy the game digitally, you can stream it wherever you want, but then when you're home on your console or on your computer, you're actually playing it locally. So that's, to me,
that would be awesome.
Yeah, to me, that would be the best of both worlds, where if you have the hardware, you can do it. If you don't, then you have the option to stream elsewhere, to play it even if you're not home. So that would be a pretty big you know, deciding factor for me as well.
Yeah, buying multiple copies is not ideal.
Oh no, I would definitely, if that's the case, that's the road that they go down, then I'm probably never gonna buy anything on it, because why would I buy it when it's locked into this service that might not work well? The other thing on top of that is Google has a history of just giving up on things. They have a history of starting things, getting halfway there, and if it doesn't end up being the moneymaker that they're looking or successful, they just like forget about it, it's over. They just did it with Google Plus, which is supposed to be their, like, I guess it was supposed to be their like social network or something like that. And then there was some, like, security breach in it, and they're just like, okay, instead of fixing it, we're just closing it all down. Literally everything that you've put on the service, if you've invested money, if you've invested time and effort to make your Google Plus profile or something like that, we're just deleting it all, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, which sucks too, because like with like AIM disappearing, everybody kind of went over to like Hangouts, which is part of Google Plus.
Yeah.
And now the few people have been able to hold on to in contact through there, that source of contact's not gone.
So Google Hangouts is getting
I think it's tied in with Plus.
Oh wow, I did not. So I didn't realize that was.
It's a little bit more like bigger than just like, oh, the Plus service is gone. There's these sub services that were all a part of what Google Plus is. They're just gonna be gone.
I did not know that. Oh, that sucks. But like, yeah, so imagine you go, you buy a bunch of games on this service, and then 6 months down the road, they're like, this isn't worth it for us. We're just shutting it all down, and you're out, you know, however, whatever you invested in it. Same thing with like game saves, because that's all going to be on there, and you can't even transfer, you probably won't even be able to transfer it over to like a Steam copy or something like that. It's just going to be all gone, because it's going to be all housed on their servers. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's another reason, like, I'm looking at, like, what Xbox has done with Game Pass recently and stuff like that, and, like, maybe they potentially tie it in with that as well, and, you'd lose the issue of, like, if they decided to shut it down one day, you'd still have your games, you'd still have your saves, because they'd be on your console, or they'd be on your computer. Yeah, I think Google, I mean, I even if they can get the tech right, there's still a lot of questions about, you know, how it's all going to work, that makes me a little hesitant to get too excited about it right now, especially. But they say they are going to talk about it more in the summer. If that means E3, if that means like what all the other companies are doing, kind of doing their own thing, I don't know what that means exactly. But hopefully we get some more information on it. At any rate, it seems like we're moving in that direction. Like, next generation, anyway, is going to be... I think there's still going to be hardware next generation, but I think there's also going to be a big push toward these streaming services and games as a service kind of thing.
Hope not. I do like the idea of digital games, but I don't like the idea of streaming games, you know.
Yeah, I think it all depends on execution. It has to be executed right. And like we were saying before, having it be an option and not the only way is a big
sustainability factor of it as well. Yeah,
like having it be something that you can use if you want to, but if you don't, if you have the ability, you can play traditional. And I know Lee's a big physical game fan, so I can't imagine that this applies to him very well.
I'm out of it. Up on my phone.
Yeah,
I have tons.
Because the way they can pull licenses and stuff from digital stores and stuff, things just end up disappearing. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen any of my games disappear.
There's no kind of storage for this sort of thing. If they decide to pull it, and then it just throw it in the digital bin. There's no kind of, I'm not sure what the archiving for this sort of thing.
There have been a couple of situations where games have just been... digital games have just been removed. They're very rare, but there's been a couple. Like, they just closed down something with it's the Wii U eShop or something like that, or something. And it was like real. It wasn't even necessary for Nintendo to do it because it was really just a matter of keeping servers up or something like that. And it was very abrupt, and people lost a lot of access to a lot of their content. I think if you had downloaded it previously, you would have been fine, but you can't even go back and download those digital purchases right now. I believe that's the situation that...
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so that's kind of like the doomsday situation that a lot of people talk about when they talk about this, and up until recently, it really hadn't been that big of a deal. Like, there had been a couple of situations here and there, but... more recently with that Nintendo thing, that kind of like opened up the possibility of, like, you know, this kind of thing could happen. You know, Sony could do it, Xbox, PlayStation could do it. I mean, Xbox could do it, Steam could do it. I don't know.
It's like that with a lot of digital, I'm afraid, especially like even digital movies. There's no long term archive storage solution for digital movies. So if kind of the master gets lost or corrupted, you're done. Strange time. They haven't really sorted out a long-term storage, like kind of like you do with film, actual real film.
Yeah, and even film long-term can fall apart too.
Yeah.
Which is why they convert some of it to digital, so it lasts a little bit longer. But then if you drop the thumb drive down the drain.
I don't know. I'm more of a proponent of digital, mostly because of space. Says a guy with all the pops.
Yeah, would you convert all of those pops to digital?
I could.
If I could, I would have, you know.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, I have over 1,000 Blu-rays myself in boxes, you know, in my home, in which I have the physical copy, and I always get, you know, from my wife asking, why do you buy the Blu-ray when we get the digital copy too? Because exactly what Lee is saying.
Yeah.
But as far as games go, they don't give you both options. You know, if I had both options, right, I'd probably do that. But it's more about having space for that disc. And then sometimes when you have kids and your kid gets a hold of your game, scratches it. There goes that game.
Well, wasn't there a digital movie service that is closing? It's like you would get the code in the box and then you'd be able to redeem it, but now they're shutting it down. Is it Ultraviolet?
Yeah, Ultraviolet's done. Yeah, this is a different stand. Yeah.
Ultraviolet, I don't know if it's shutting down as much as they were just bought out by a different company.
Ultraviolet Cloud Movie Locker to shut down.
I think it has something to do with Sony. Used to do Ultraviolet.
I've never used them. I've always used the Vudu.
They have expiry dates, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, the codes do.
Yeah, but they all, those usually come into things like Vudu and so forth, the Ultraviolet ones. So.
Right, but if, so like, I just recently went through and re-ripped all of my Blu-rays, and I still had codes in there for some of the game, for some of the movies, and mm-hmm. some of them were Ultraviolet, and a lot of them had already expired like 3-4 years ago. But so like, if I had gone and like redeemed all of those, and then was like, oh, I guess I can get rid of this Blu-ray now because I have this digital version. Fuck me, yep. Right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Because, like I said, some of mine were digital from Ultraviolet, are in Vudu, but they're still there. So, I don't know.
It's not happening until the 31st of July.
Well, I mean, I guess I'll find out.
Yeah.
There's
stuff out there. There may be ways to back it up or something like that. You might want to look into that if you're interested. Yeah, so I guess it's at this point it's a to be seen situation with Google Stadia and the state of this streaming games future kind of deal. And I'm interested. Whatever ends up happening, as long as the service is affordable, I'm definitely gonna check it out. Because I'm just, you know, that's kind of. I'm interested to see how it's presented, how it works, and everything like that. But I don't think I'm going to be, like, jumping on the bandwagon and being like, all right, let's do this. 100% streaming future. Let's go. Because I don't think it's there yet. There'd have to be a really good sales pitch.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else got anything they want to add before we wrap it up?
I did read on here for your Ultraviolet thing that if anybody's listening, do not unlink your stuff with Vudu, because if you do, it will wipe your entire library. But if you keep it linked with Vudu, you should be able to keep all your movies.
So don't link it with Vudu?
Don't unlink it with Vudu.
But don't unlink it with Vudu. So if it's already linked with Vudu, you're good. Yeah. But what if it's not linked with Vudu? Can you do it right now? You
might want to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, you might want to do that before July 31st.
Okay. All right. Well, there's your PSA. Not gonna affect me because I don't think I redeemed a single one of those codes I ever got. So.
I have probably 600 of them. So.
Okay. So yeah, you should probably make sure you get that squared away.
Yeah, they came with the movie. They were free. They came with the movie, so...
Yeah, I know, but I had the movie, and I was... Literally, the only time I ever look at a Blu-ray disc is when I'm going to put it in my computer to turn it into a digital copy myself. So... Otherwise...
Don't play that.
Yeah.
It's illegal.
No, it's not. Ooh. Because then I plug it all. I plug one hard drive into my Xbox, and then I have everything there. And it's so convenient. Then I can put them all in a bin, and I can put them away, and they can stay over there for eternity until they rot into whatever they're going to rot into.
You'll FedEx them to me. I'll look after them.
Okay, right. Yeah. Yeah, no problem. I'll ship them over.
You're paying the shipping, right?
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. If you want to follow everything we do, you can check out the Voxel Voice Facebook group. You can also check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/voxelvoice. And check out the website too, because these things go up on the website, and we also have reviews that we don't talk about here on the website and stuff like that. Anybody want to give any shout outs before I close it up?
I think we're good.
Shout-outs. Good.
I'm playing a little quickie at the moment called Rico, which is like kind of a fun little first person shooter with a kind of a cel shaded, almost like, if you remember 13, the old game 13.
Yes.
That weird shell shaded aesthetic, and it's kind of one of these kind of fast paced shooter type through police cop type things. That's quite fun. Have a look at that if you get a chance to.
Cool. What's that on Xbox? On Xbox?
Xbox, everything actually. It's also on Switch. It's kind of a little bit like. There was a Devolve. It's a little bit like a Devolve game, a little bit like High Hell, if you remember High Hell.
All right, yeah, I remember High Hell. Rico, R-I-C-O?
Yeah.
All right, cool. That's check it out if you're into those kinds of Twitch shooters. High Hell was fun. That was fun.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys. Peace.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.